Our passage tonight was the last chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians, and you may have noticed that it doesn't use the phrase in Christ, but it is a summary of Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. Just a quick explanation of what we read first before we move on to think about participating in Christ. In verses 1 to 10 of chapter 6, Paul gives a series of instructions that spell out, in practical terms, what it means for his Galatian converts to live by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, and so to keep in step with the Spirit. All three of these injunctions are dealt with in the second part of chapter 5 of Galatians. The instructions are given in the form of encouragements, with these encouragements generally expressing, in a somewhat blended fashion, two main emphases. Firstly, they emphasize personal responsibility. Secondly, they emphasize corporate responsibility. Christians have both of these. We're responsible for ourselves, but we're all responsible together. Yet the particular situations to which these encouragements were originally given to counteract, those situations are not stated. And so we're left without any real knowledge of the circumstances within the Galatian churches or how Paul's exhortations fit those circumstances. Why does that matter? Well, because Paul is nearly always addressing some specific issue in the churches he's writing to. And so if we're unsure about the problem, then we are also unsure what led him to write what he wrote, other than in the most general sense of saying that it was God who led him to write. The end of the letter to the Galatians in verses 11 to 18 highlights three matters that are to the fore in all that Paul has written regarding the threats previously stated in the letter to Galatia. Firstly, the motivation of those threatening as Paul saw it. Secondly, the centrality of the cross in the Christian gospel. And thirdly, the nature of a proper Christian lifestyle as believers attempt to address and express their faith in the circumstances of their day. I'm sure we can understand and sympathize with those three things because we all at times feel threatened. We all, I hope, hold the cross at the center of our lives. And we all struggle with how we express our faith in life. After that, Paul moves on to an expanded peace benediction pronounced on all those who view the Christian life in such a way as is set out in verse 15. And that is followed by a further comment of warning and of authority, and then finally a benediction of grace in the very last verse. So the end of Paul's letter provides important clues for understanding the issues discussed throughout Galatians, particularly those having to do with the threat brought into the churches by certain legalistically orientated, possibly Jewish Christians. For it not only summarizes the main points dealt with earlier in the letter, but it also allows us to cut through all of the verbiage and see matters in their essence, as Paul saw them. Historically, Paul's letter to the Galatians has been foundational for many forms of Christian thought, proclamation and practice. Likewise, today, how one understands the issues and teachings of Galatians determines, in a large measure, what kind of theology you espouse, what kind of message you proclaim, and what kind of lifestyle you live. So having taken quite a long time to get here, what do I want to say about participation in Christ? And there's some kind of motif about belonging to the body of Christ, perhaps some kind of union with Christ's death, or perhaps some kind of possession and indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. Any, and indeed all of these interpretations are possible from the reading of chapter 6 of Galatians. And a great deal of scholarship has been focused on trying to identify some kind of reality which means that an individual can be said to be in Christ. So, does that mean that fundamentally we're changed in some kind of form of mystical union between our bodies and that of Christ. Does it mean that the change brought about in an individual by being in Christ means that they have some form of different self-understanding of who they are? So that's the same people are very much focused on how an individual can be understood to have been changed by being a Christian who is in Christ. But I don't think that's a particularly helpful way of trying to consider the problem, because both of these are too focused on the individual and upon ourselves. Rather, I think our focus in trying to understand should not be on understanding how an individual can be said to be in Christ, but rather, our focus should be on understanding the nature of Christ that allows us to participate in being in Christ. Now, that's quite a fine distinction. I hope you can see it there. One of these is focused on us, and the other is focused on Jesus. These are the muddy distinctions in which so much of theology is written and understood, if it is understood. And this is why I'm saying hold things lightly. By participation in Christ, I want to try to consider the connection between God and humanity. And this is very much influenced by the work of another theologian, Louis Martin, another American theology professor who this time works out of a different Presbyterian seminary, the Union Theological Seminary in New York. Now, what motivated Martin's work was the difference between the movement of the individual human into some kind of covenant contractual relationship with God, and in contrast, the movement of God into coming closer to our world to intervene in its day-to-day goings on. And that movement of God closer to the day-to-day life of Earth is quite often seen as an apocalyptic vision, something that will only finally be perfected and completed when the world comes to an end. But to be fair, a lot of Paul's writing is apocalyptic in nature, and it is very much focused on the imminence of the second coming of Christ at the end of time. And this is the idea which we get in verse 15, where Paul states that what matters is a new creation. That the difference between Jews and Gentiles from the perspective of that new creation is irrelevant. And that this new creation comes about at the proper time, as stated in verse 9. The time when what we have sown in our lives will be reaped by God. In this understanding of what it means to be in Christ, it means the ability to be part of this new creation. The whole thrust of the letter of the Galatians includes what has already happened at the time it was written, namely, that Jesus has come to earth, that he has died in our place to pay the recompense due, and that he will come again in the future when that new creation is completed. But also, at this time, there is a present war against the powers of evil. And this present war is described by Paul as being in terms of things of the flesh. That is, things of this current fallen world, and things that are of the Spirit of God, which he sent to humanity. These are the two things in conflict. In being in Christ, Paul's exhorting people, he's encouraging people to stick close to the Spirit of God and not follow the temptations that surround everyone, things which Paul describes as being of the flesh. Paul also has an understanding that being in Christ means that one has a continual relationship with Christ, that Christ is continually intervening and interjecting into the lives of those who follow him, perhaps not as dramatically, but in much the same way that Christ spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus when he was first convicted of the truth of the gospel. Having this continued relationship with Christ, where Christ or the Spirit guides and corrects our thoughts and actions, is, For Paul, all part of what it means to be participating in Christ. That is to say, there's always an element of coming to Christ and being sent by Christ in participating in Christ. Through our being guided by Christ, God invades the world in order to bring it under his liberating control. Martin has an interesting thought in relation to this, namely that God would not have to carry out such an invasion in order merely to forgive wayward human beings. So the root trouble must lie deeper than simple human guilt. Martin's view is rather that it's the whole of creation which has fallen under the evil sway of the present age, and therefore the whole of creation which Jesus has come to redeem. And I don't disagree with him, but I also don't think that's a necessary deduction to make, albeit that understanding chimes with our current environmental and social justice concerns. But I don't think it tells us anything more about what it means for a Christian to be in Christ. But despite my disagreement with Martin, I want to draw two conclusions from his observations. Firstly, participation in Christ must be grounded in and generated by God's prior participation in the human story through Christ's birth, death, resurrection, and ascension. Because all these things are central to Paul's ideas of salvation through Christ. Secondly, and drawing upon yet another philosopher, a Jewish one this time, a chap called Martin Buber. Buber's ideas are that the whole of human nature exists in relationships between people. Human existence is participatory, by which he means, I mean, it only ever exists in relation to others. I can only understand you because of my relationship to you. You can only understand me because of your experiences of me. I don't have any intimate knowledge of, for instance, Donald Trump or Barack Obama. I have kind of general perceptions of them informed by media, but I don't know them as individuals, so I don't have a personal understanding of them. To have that connection, I would need to have a participation with them. There would have to be a direct exchange. So how we understand ourselves and how we understand our relations with each other, that informs how we understand our whole operation of our existence. And that understanding of existence is always done through relationships in determining our interactions between the individual and the other thing. What that implies is that the structure of redemption is and can only be accomplished by God in Christ, both disclosing and interacting with humanity through the relational matrix of being in Christ. If we're not participating with being in Christ, we don't have that connection with God. We can't really understand what is going on. Now, I know this is really difficult stuff. I guess what I'm trying to say is the idea of participation in Christ means that we've got a uniquely intimate connection with and relationship to our God. And were we not to have that connection, and by in Christ this way, we'd not be capable of knowing anything about God or his love for us. I think I'm going to stop there, and I just want to say, I hope that by God's Spirit, that what Paul wrote so long ago in this letter to Galatia can find a new home in our lives by establishing, encouraging, challenging, and transforming us for God's glory. It's that connection that enables us to be in Christ, that connection which is the participation with God.